Well, good morning, church. Thank you. I appreciate Pastor Ryan feeling the weight of camp and mission trip. It was incredible. It was amazing. We'll talk a little bit about that. But my wife was there all 14 days as well. So can we give it up for my incredible wife? Have you ever asked the question, what is my purpose? You know, when I was told I get the opportunity to preach this morning, I was thinking, you know, it's summer, I don't want to do anything too intense or too heavy, and so naturally I landed on answering, why am I here? Why am I on this earth? What is my life's purpose? The definition of purpose is the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. Why am I here? Why did God create me? Why do I exist? Why am I given the gifts, abilities, and talents that I have? Why am I placed here? And what a time is this? This morning, as we look through Scripture and we follow the life of the Apostle Peter, and as we ask God, what is my purpose? My hope is that all of us will leave this place having the answer to that question, what is my purpose? But before we get to that, as Pastor Ryan mentioned, I am the youth pastor here at the Germantown campus, and I would be doing I need to do our youth students the justice that they deserve. See, we just got back from camp last week. I got a couple pictures. Before that, we were on a mission trip to the Bahamas, so that's our camp picture. So pause for a second. We took 120 people to camp for a week. They got to go to services. They got to grow. Yeah, that's incredible. We can give that up. That's amazing. They got to grow in their community with one another. They grew in their faith. They had an incredible, incredible week. And of course, we did win camp competition. Big Blue took home the win. And then the week before that, we were on a mission trip to the Bahamas. 19 of us went to the Bahamas. Behind you, you see a preschool that we got to repaint. We actually built that, that playground from the ground up. The Lord had an incredible mission for us, and so we got to do that. We got home from the mission trip, 12:30 at night Saturday. Everybody came to service the following Sunday, and then we went to camp the next Monday. So it's been a fun 2 weeks, and now we are here this morning. I'm excited to be here. I'm happy that you're here. But like I said, today, I want to answer the question, what is my purpose? I have a letter from the director of field teams from Convoy of Hope. And so Convoy of Hope is a missionary organization that we often partner with. And we were on this mission trip with a man named Matt Wilkie. And he sent me this letter when I got back from the mission trip. You know, Megan and I see how incredible your students are, the students are of this next generation. But I want to brag on them for a moment because they deserve it. Matt Wilkie said, your students are known more and more. I continue to pray that their repairs of the breach will continue to be seen throughout the world. Matt Wilkie spent 2 days with us, and he is already calling our students repairers of the breach because our students and the next generation at Life Church believe in the gospel and they believe in the mission of Jesus Christ. So could we take a moment and show our students the appreciation they deserve? Man, the next generation is not lost. They are in good hands, and Megan and I have it one of the greatest honors that we get to be the youth pastors for this season. One of my favorite movies of all time is a movie called I, Robot. It stars Will Smith, and it's about robots taking over the world. And it has nothing to do with my sermon today, but there's a line in it when Will Smith's character is talking to a pre-recorded hologram, and he's asking questions, and the response of the hologram is, my responses are limited. You must ask the right questions. Now, we serve a God whose power is infinite. He can do anything. His responses and the way that he interacts with us are not confined to a box. But I do think that sometimes we ask the wrong question. I think that sometimes we go to God wanting answers, but we're not asking the right questions. And so this morning, I would encourage you not to ask the question, God, what is my purpose? But rather, God, what is your purpose for me? What is your purpose for my life, Lord? Not what can I do with you by my side, but what can you do through me? In the Gospel of Luke, we read about a Jewish man, named Simon Peter, who I'm sure at different points in his life asked his community, asked his family, asked God even, what is my purpose? And at some point, he was answered. See, we know a few things about Peter before he became a disciple of Jesus. We know that his father's name was John. We know that he had a brother named Andrew. We know that they fished for a living. And we know that in this moment when we're going to meet Peter, the first time, it's going to be in the Gospel of Luke, we know that Peter is not yet living out his God-given purpose. And so if you have your Bibles with you today, you can turn to Luke chapter 5. It's going to be on the screens if you don't. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. This moment that we're about to dive into, Jesus is beginning his public ministry. So he's waited the 30 years, he's trusted his heavenly Father, and now he's going out, he's sharing the gospel, he's telling the people the truth, the only way to heaven through him to his Father, and he's preaching, and he comes upon Peter and a couple other apostles, and he needs to get out on the boat because the crowds are just too big. And so in Luke chapter 5, verse 4, it says this: "When he, Jesus, had finished speaking, he said to Simon," who is Peter, "put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Continuing in verse 9, "For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him." Life Church, will you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you that you have a purpose for each and every one of us. I pray as we read your word that you would just speak through me, God, that we wouldn't hear my words, but we would hear you, God. I pray that you would speak to each of us individually, growing our purpose. God, we love you. We thank you for this morning. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, there isn't a scripture that says it specifically in the Bible, but I'm sure there were times in Peter's life, like we said, when he asked himself, "What is my purpose?" And at some point, Peter found a career instead of a purpose. Life Church, we as Christ followers need to understand that our career is not our purpose. Your purpose is far greater than a simple career. Peter's career was to be a fisherman, but Peter's purpose was to be a fisher of men. See, in the midst of one of the greatest catches of Peter's career, he was asked to walk away, and he did it. Jesus called him to his purpose away from his career. My question for you today, would you be willing to do the same? After the promotion that you've been waiting for, the sale that you've worked so hard to close, the corner office that you've had your eye on, if you received that and then Jesus called you away from it, would you be able to say yes? Jesus has a purpose far greater than a job or career. You might be saying, "But my career is God-honoring." That's incredible. That's good. But a God-given purpose is greater than a God-honoring career. A purpose means more. My career right now is being the youth pastor of this incredible youth group, but that's not God's purpose for me, because one day I won't be the youth pastor of Life Church Germantown, but I will still have purpose. One day you will move to a new job, but you will still have purpose. I, no matter what the youth say, I know they want me to stay till I'm 50, but I won't be one of those youth pastors. I won't be one of those youth pastors trying to stay cool. In fact, we were on the mission trip. This was 2 weeks ago. We were on the mission trip, and I'm talking to one of our students. It's the last night, and so everybody's complimenting each other. Everybody's saying what God did over the trip. Everybody's crying. It's just this incredible time. And one of the youth students says to me, he says, "Pastor Luke, man, I love being on mission trips with you. It's so fun. We get to hang out together. It's just a whole different, like, vibe that you give." Everybody's saying vibe, and aura apparently is a word. So I'm already not knowing what the youth say, so that's a little embarrassing. But he was saying, "We get to hang out with you more. We get to have meals with you. It's just so fun." And then it's different because on Wednesdays, your age really shows and you get really serious. I'm 26. If my age is already showing, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. But because of that, I'm trying really hard to have a cooler, younger aura on Wednesday nights. But my career is not my purpose. I believe God has me here right now to remind the next generation that they have a Father in heaven who loves them deeply and is proud of them. And sometimes that means me being the youth pastor. See, if we have amazing youth nights, no technical difficulties, everything goes right on paper, but there's no life change, then we're failing. 120 kids to camp or 100 plus kids to camp is incredible. But the 20 plus salvations and rededications mean so much more. The 10 students who were called or had a reaffirmation of their calling into ministry at camp means so much more. Because when those 20 students come back from Spencer Lake, they know that the God is still the same thing that they worshiped at Wapaka, that he is in their rooms, in their schools, in their homes. Those 10 kids who have been called into ministry, when they come home, they know what God did at camp, and now they have a reason and a purpose to multiply it in their lives. See, the 19 kids or the 19 people that went on a mission trip that took time out of their busy schedules to raise funds, that's incredible. But what's even more incredible is the playground that hundreds, if not thousands, of young students will play on, knowing that they have a heavenly Father who would choose to take 19 people from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, fly them to the Bahamas, build them a playground to show them that they have a heavenly Father who loves them. Camp and mission trip are incredible. I got to lead those, but my purpose is so much greater than just being the youth pastor. Life Church, God's purpose for us is not kept in the box of what our job or career is. And how dare we think that we are just meant for one thing? It makes me think of one of our youth leaders. Her name is Marley Erickson. See, Marley Erickson had felt like she wanted to go into the mission field. She has an older sister who met her husband, and they've been missionaries in the country of Haiti. And so from the time Marley was like a sophomore in high school, Megan and I got to be her youth pastors, and we saw this excitement to just go into the mission field, to have a job, have a career as a missionary. If you've been following the news at all, you know that Haiti has really taken a downward spiral, and it just became unsafe. And so in the summer of 2022, Marley graduated high school, and she realized that she couldn't go to Haiti. So there were moments of sadness, there were moments of sorrow, there were moments of maybe even depression when Marley knew that job or career was out of her reach. But she said, you know what, God? I believe that my purpose is far greater than a simple career or a job. And so Marley said, I'm here right now. Let me go into that 100%. And so Marley began serving on our youth team. And I believe from the bottom of my heart, I say this with 100% belief, is that there are people who will now enter into the kingdom of heaven who have now been showed Jesus because Marley decided to go all in on her purpose, not her career. There have been small group questions that have been answered by Marley on a Wednesday who have grown young women's faith. There have been camp altars where students have been prayed for by Marley because she decided to pursue her purpose instead of her career. And 2 weeks ago, Marley got to join us on the first ever group of young adults coming on a youth trip. It was an awesome opportunity. We had these three awesome girls who have been serving in youth, and so we invited them to come with us. But young adults have never come on a youth mission trip before, and so they got to come with us. We get to the Bahamas, and one of the leaders of the organization tells us that the Bahamas has a 60% population of Haitians who are fleeing the country because of uncertainty and non-safety. And Marley was there because she trusted the author of all life with her purpose, knowing that her purpose was far greater than her career. I believe that heaven will be more full because Marley said yes to her purpose. Marley still has a heart. She hasn't forgotten about Haiti, and she believes one day she will be there, but it will be in God's timing, not her own. My question to you, Life Church, is could you do the same? Life Church, if we hope to live in the purpose God has in store for us, we need to know that our purpose is far greater than our career. And maybe you're in this room, maybe you're in between jobs, or maybe you're a young adult struggling to find a job. You need to know that your worth, your identity, and your fulfillment does not rise and fall on a career. If you are struggling right now, know that you still have purpose. If there have not been the perfect roads that lead to the perfect job, know that you still have purpose. I believe one day you will find an incredible job that brings you joy and it brings you satisfaction, but even when that day comes, your purpose is still greater than your career. Life Church, if we hope to live in God's purpose for us, we need to know that it is bigger than our career, and we need to prepare for our purpose. We need to prepare for our purpose. See, if you want to succeed in the purpose that God has in store for you, then you need to prepare for it. Just like anything in life, if you want to succeed in something, You need to prepare for it. There's no getting around that. There's no easy cheat. I wish I could tell you that on page 456 of the Bible, it gives you the cheat code, but there's nothing like that. You simply need to prepare. So what does that look like? That looks like getting in your scripture. That looks like having a constant relationship with God, praying to him. That looks like community, coming together like we're doing today and worshiping. That looks like joining a life group, growing one another, sharpening one another. That looks like serving, taking time out of your busy schedules to serve. That looks like giving. All of those things prepare you for the purpose that God has in store for you. And ultimately, it looks like trusting Jesus, keeping your eyes on Jesus. A bit later in Peter's story, there's a time when he fails to put his trust in Jesus. And I love that the Bible isn't just this collection of just the greatest victories. It is the collection of the greatest victory of all time, but we get to see moments where people fail and we get to learn from them. We get to see moments where people are human and we get to learn from those things. And so we're picking up in Peter's story, Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. Jesus, once again, is finishing preaching, and he sends the disciples away. He says, you go sail out on the sea, and I'll meet you. So the disciples are on the sea, and a storm begins to come, and it begins to batter the boat, and waves begin to pick up, and wind begins to blow, and the disciples begin to get fearful. And then they see a figure walking to them on the water. It's not speaking yet, which sometimes I just think that Jesus had a good sense of humor. Like, he could have been like, hey, guys, it's me. But it's the middle of a storm, and there's just a dark figure walking on the water towards them. Jesus liked to keep them on the toes. But in 28, verse 28, we pick up this story. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Man, I love that last verse. It doesn't necessarily have to do with our point, but immediately Jesus reached out. Man, isn't it a good thing that we serve a God who immediately reaches out? He doesn't say, are you sorry? Are you sure? No, he immediately reaches out, and then he corrects. He says, yes, you of little faith, but our God immediately meets us with grace. Praise the Lord for that. Peter's life was spent in preparation of a job. So he prepared for his fishing job, fishing a fish. But when Jesus told him to walk on the water, Peter was ill prepared. Peter took his eyes off of Jesus in a moment and he began to sink. Life Church, keep your eyes on Jesus. Prepare for your purpose. In that moment, Jesus had a purpose for Peter. He wanted Peter to walk to him on the water and be a part of an incredible miracle. But Peter had a moment of weakness and he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. This story, again, like I said, we can learn from this moment when Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus, and we can know to keep our eyes set on Jesus. But it makes me think of another Bible story, when a miracle came to fruition, when a miracle happened in its full form. It's the story of the feeding of the 5,000. You've heard it before, I'm sure, but if you haven't, I'll give you a quick synopsis. Jesus feeds 5,000. So there's a moment when Jesus is once again preaching, and the people who are listening, they're starting to get hungry, and they're starting to get a little, you know, unwary, you know. In youth group, you're told that you have as many minutes of how old a student is. So I'm already at like 18 minutes. So everyone above 18, thanks for sticking with me, everybody underneath. But those are the people listening. They're starting to not really focus. And so Jesus says, go out and find me some food. Go out and find me some food. So the disciples go out into the crowd. They look for some food. And this young boy has some fish and some loaves. And the disciples say, hey, Jesus needs that. The disciples don't know why Jesus needs it. They can probably assume why he's going to feed the people. But the young boy doesn't know. But the young boy says, if Jesus needs this, then I'll give it to him. He keeps his eyes on Jesus, and he gives everything that he has. I believe it's because that young boy was preparing for that moment. I believe it's because that young boy was maybe brought up in a house. Maybe he went to a church service or something, and he knew that if Jesus called us to something, then we should do it. That young boy is never named. He is simply known as the young boy who gives everything he has. Life Church, that's how I want to be known. I don't need my name in the books, but I want to be known as someone who keeps my eyes fully on Jesus and gives him everything that I have. See, Peter's whole life was preparing to be on the sea, and he still fell in. We found out that Peter was a fisherman, so being on a boat wasn't new to him. Probably being in storms wasn't even new to him. But all of that preparation, when the storms came, he still began to sink in because Peter was not preparing for his purpose. Life Church, are you preparing for your purpose? And we say, well, I'm here on Sundays. Good, that's amazing, but that's not enough. God's purpose for you is not meant to be contained within this room. God's purpose for you is meant to be outside of a Sunday morning. What if we prepared so much for our purposes that outside of Sundays, people would begin to notice? They would see that we have something different and they would want what we have. What if instead of being a church full of business people, which is great, we would start to be businesses full of God-fearing men and women? What if instead of a youth group full of students, we would be known as students who are young warriors in their schools? What if instead of a multi-generational church, which is good, we would live out what Jesus called us to do, being the hands and feet, serving, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, that people would notice that they're not just a multi-generational church, but the people that go to their church outside of Sundays have a Jesus inside them who can change lives for generations. What if we prepared so much for our purpose on a Sunday that outside people wanted what we have and we could tell them, it's not a career, it's not a hobby, it is my God-given purpose. Man, what if we did that? Finally, church, when it comes to our purpose, we need to know that your purpose remains. Your purpose remains, no matter what. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you will do, your God-given purpose remains. When we pick up next, we find Peter sad, depressed, and confused. We're going to pick up in John chapter 21, but Jesus was just taken and crucified. Jesus, the man who called Peter out of his career, gave him purpose, was just taken away, killed, and was buried. The last interaction that we see with Peter is him denying Christ three times. So Peter is at a low. Peter is in one of the worst points of his life. And what does he do? He goes back to his career. He goes back to what he knew. He goes back to the safety, the comfort of the thing that he was doing before his God-given purpose. John chapter 21, verse 3. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, once again, they caught nothing. Skipping to verse 6. He said, we know that he who's saying this is Jesus. Again, he's on the shore. He's not really telling them, hey, it's Jesus. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. The disciples and Jesus come together and they share a meal, rejoicing in his resurrection. And in verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Life Church, your purpose, your God-given purpose remains even when you falter, because your God-given purpose is from your Heavenly Father, who knows no failure. There was no mistake when he called you to that thing. There was no mistake when he placed that on your heart. Your purpose remains. Peter returned to fishing when Jesus was gone. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know the difficulty that's in your life, but Jesus does. And I'm thankful that you're here this morning. My hope, my prayer as I was preparing for this message is that despite what you're going through, despite how difficult it may be in your life right now, because I'm sure the struggles that you have are real, I would implore you, I would encourage you, don't go back to what you were before your purpose. Don't fall back into the comfort of what you knew before you knew your God-given purpose, because your purpose remains. In verse 7, we read that Peter jumped into the water and swam to Jesus. He didn't wait in that moment. And sometimes when I'm reading scripture, the Lord kind of keeps putting a verse on my heart or a line on my heart. And I kept reading that he jumped into the water. He jumped into the water. And I was like, God, okay, I get it, but why do you keep showing me this? And I think it's because there needs to be a point in our lives, like there was a point in Peter's life, when we jump full head on into the water. When we don't care about what happened in the past. See, remember, Peter fell into the water. He began to drown in the water, but he forgot that. He didn't care that maybe this water would be dangerous. He jumped with everything that he had, going after his purpose, because he remembered what Jesus said when he lifted him out of the water. And Peter was not going to look Jesus in the eyes and deny him again and be known as someone with little faith. Peter was going to be so full of faith that with everything that he had, not waiting for his friends, not waiting to row back to the shore, he was going to jump towards his purpose. Are you going to do that this morning? Are you going to jump with everything that you have, not waiting for the perfect opportunity? Students, don't wait till you're graduated. Don't wait till you're married. Don't wait till you have your own house. Don't wait till you can drive. If the Lord has called you to something, then do it. Adults, don't wait to be the light that your family needs. Don't wait to tell that coworker about Jesus. Don't wait until you retire. If Jesus has called you to it, do it. And maybe there are people in here right now who have a secure job. They're fine with coming on Sundays. They tithe, they serve. But Jesus is calling you to leave your job and be full-time in ministry. He is calling you to something more. Do it. Do not wait to row back to shore. Jump in with everything that you have. Jesus has given you a purpose. There comes a time when you need to decide to follow God's call on your life. See, Peter's purpose never changed, but his posture did. Peter was called from the moment he was born to the moment that he's crucified. But Peter followed his purpose. In that moment, he jumped into the water. We don't get the excuse that Peter had. See, Peter saw Jesus get killed and buried, and he went back to what he knew. We know that Jesus rose. We don't get that excuse. You and I know the ending to the story. You and I know that on the third day, Jesus rose again. Your purpose remains, life, church. Even after Peter denied Jesus, Jesus looked at him and said, "Feed my sheep." Some of you, I believe this morning, Jesus is knocking on your heart, saying, "Do this." We have to decide how we'll respond. And I love how Peter does. In Acts chapter 2, verse 14, "And Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say.'" Jesus had risen, he had ascended, but he told Peter, he said, "Feed my sheep." So the moment after Jesus and the followers were baptized in the Holy Spirit, a crowd begins to come around their building, and Peter, scripture says that he opened the doors, and from the high stories, he began to preach. Scripture also says that hundreds, thousands began to follow Jesus after Peter began to lead. Peter was given his purpose, and he jumped into it. You know what I think is cool is that I'm sure in that crowd, there were people that looked at Peter and said, "You're a follower of Jesus." And he probably denied that. But now, as he's in his purpose, giving everything that he has, he doesn't care what the people say. He dove in. And so there could be people in that crowd that might be shouting back at him, saying, "You're lying, you're lying." Peter says, "I don't care. Listen to what I have." And he shares the gospel. My job is a pastor, but my purpose and calling is to remind the next generation they have a heavenly Father who loves them, is proud of them. My career is not my purpose. I will prepare for my purpose, and I will remind myself that no matter what happens, my purpose remains. Peter jumps into the water. I want to be so passionate about my purpose that I jump. So you might be sitting there, "So what? So what's next? What's my purpose?" That's a great question. Ask God. The easy answer is the Great Commission. You know, Jesus, before he ascends, he looks to the followers of him and he says, "Go into all the world preaching and teaching the gospel." I believe that Jesus has called all of us to do that. We have a duty. It's not a choice. We have been given a purpose, a mission by Jesus to go into all the world. But now uniquely, how will you do that? Have you ever asked God that? Have you ever asked your Heavenly Father, what is my purpose? If you haven't, I'm going to pray in just a couple moments. I would encourage you in your own head, maybe tonight when you get home, maybe tomorrow morning, whenever it is, ask God, what is my purpose? I believe, it's what I love about God, that he has a purpose for every one of us. That God would send his son to live a perfect life so he could be the perfect sacrifice to die for every one of us. And still, despite what we've done, despite how we've turned away from him, he wants to use us. He wants to give you purpose. Ask God, what is your purpose for my life? Heavenly Father, we love you. God, we thank you for purpose. God, sometimes it's a heavy burden to carry, but you have given us purpose. I pray that we would be encouraged in here to look at the life of Peter, knowing that it's okay to fail, it's okay to mess up, but now we get the option to dive in head first towards your purpose. I pray that students, that college students, that young adults, that young married couples, that retired adults, that grandparents, that everyone in this room would know that Jesus sees them, knows the hairs on their head, knows their name, knows their story, and wants to use them, is giving them a God-given purpose. I pray that we would have the boldness and the courage to ask. And I pray that when you answer, we would dive in, Jesus. We love you. Thank you in Jesus' name, amen.